The Apology of the Church of England by John Jewell. Hailandfire.com. Part 2. We believe that there is one certain nature and divine power, which we call God, and that the same is divided into three equal persons, into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Ghost, and that they all be of one power, of one majesty, of one eternity, of one Godhead, and of one substance. And although these three persons be so divided, that neither the Father is the Son, nor the Son is the Holy Ghost, or the Father, yet, nevertheless, we believe that there is but one very God, and that the same one God hath created heaven, and earth, and all things contained under heaven. We believe that Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Eternal Father, as long before it was determined before all beginnings, when the fullness of time was come, did take of the blessed and pure Virgin both flesh and all the nature of man, that he might declare to the world the secret and hid will of his Father, which will had been laid up from before all ages and generations, and that he might full finish in his human body the mystery of our redemption, and might fasten our sins to the cross, and also that handwriting which was made against us. We believe that for our sakes he died, and was buried, descended into hell, the third day by the power of his Godhead returned to life, and rose again, and that the 40th day after his resurrection, whilst his disciples beheld and looked upon him, he ascended into heaven to fulfill all things, and did place in majesty and glory the selfsame body wherewith he was born, wherein he lived on earth, wherein he was jested at, wherein he had suffered most painful torments and cruel kind of death, wherein he rose again, and wherein he ascended to the right hand of the Father, above all rule, above all power, all force, all dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and that there he now sitteth, and shall sit, till all things be full perfected. And although the majesty and Godhead of Christ be everywhere abundantly dispersed, yet we believe that his body, as Saint Augustine saith, must needs be still in one place, and that Christ hath given majesty unto his body, but yet hath not taken away from it the nature of a body, and that we must not so affirm Christ to be God that we deny him to be man, and, as the martyr Vigilius saith, that Christ hath left us as touching his human nature, but hath not left us as touching his divine nature, and that the same Christ, though he be absent from us concerning his manhood, yet is ever present with us concerning his Godhead. From that place also we believe that Christ shall come again to execute the general judgment, as well of them whom he shall then find alive in the body as of them that be already dead. We believe that the Holy Ghost, who is the third person in the Holy Trinity, is very God, not made, not created, not begotten, but proceeding from both the Father and the Son, by a certain mean unknown unto men, and unspeakable, and that it is his property to mollify and soften the hardness of man's heart when he is once received therein, either by the wholesome preaching of the gospel, or by any other way, that he doth give men light, and guide them unto the knowledge of God, to all way of truth, to newness of the whole life, and to everlasting hope of salvation. We believe that there is one Church of God, and that the same is not shut up as in times past among the Jews into some one corner or kingdom, but that it is Catholic and universal, and dispersed throughout the whole world. So that there is now no nation which may truly complain that they be shut forth, and may not be one of the Church and people of God, and that this Church is the kingdom, the body, and the spouse of Christ, and that Christ alone is the prince of this kingdom, that Christ alone is the head of this body, and that Christ alone is the bridegroom of this spouse. Furthermore, we believe that there be divers degrees of ministers in the Church, whereof some be deacons, some priests, some bishops, to whom is committed the office to instruct the people, and the whole charge and setting forth of religion. Yet notwithstanding, we say that there neither is, nor can be any one man, which may have the whole superiority in this universal state, for that Christ is ever present to assist his Church, and needeth not any man to supply his room, as his only heir to all his substance, and that there can be no one mortal creature, which is able to comprehend or conceive in his mind the universal church, that is to wit, all the parts of the world, much less able rightly and duly to put them in order, and to govern them rightly and duly. For all the apostles, as Cyprian saith, were of like power among themselves, and the rest were the same that Peter was, and that it said indifferently to them all, Feed ye. Indifferently to them all, Go into the whole world. Indifferently to them all, Teach ye the gospel. And as here Rome saith, All bishops wheresoever they be they at Rome, be they at Eugubium, be they at Constantinople, be they at Regium, be all of like preeminence, and of like priesthood. And, as Cyprian saith, there is but one bishopric, and the peace thereof is perfectly and wholly holden of every particular bishop. And according to the judgment of the Nicene Council, we say, that the bishop of Rome hath no more jurisdiction over the Church of God than the rest of the patriarchs, either of Alexandria, or of Antiochia have. And as for the bishop of Rome, who now calleth all matters before himself alone, except he do his duty as he ought to do, except he minister the sacraments, except he instruct the people, except he warn them and teach them, we say that he ought not of right once to be called a bishop, or so much as an elder. For a bishop, as saith Augustine, is a name of labor, and not of honor, because he will have that man understand himself to be no bishop, which will seek to have preeminence, and not to profit others. And that neither the Pope, nor any other worldly creature can no more be head of the whole church, or a bishop over all, than he can be the bridegroom, the light, the salvation, and life of the church. For the privileges and names belong only to Christ, and be properly and only fit for him alone. And that no bishop of Rome did ever suffer himself to be called by such a proud name before Phocas the emperor's time, who, as we know, by killing his own sovereign Maurice the emperor, did by a traitorous villainy aspire to the empire about the 613th year after Christ was born. Also the Council of Carthage did circumspectly provide, that no bishop should be called the highest bishop or chief priest. And therefore, sitens the bishop of Rome will nowadays so be called, and challengeth unto himself an authority that is none of his. Besides that he doth plainly contrary to the ancient councils, and contrary to the old fathers. We believe that he doth give unto himself, as it is written by his own companion Gregory, a presumptuous, a profane, a sacrilegious, and an anti-Christian name, that he is also the king of pride, that he is Lucifer, which preferreth himself before his brethren, that he hath forsaken the faith, and is the forerunner of Antichrist. Further we say, that the minister ought lawfully, duly, and orderly to be preferred to that office of the Church of God, and that no man hath power to wrest himself into the holy ministry at his own pleasure and list. Wherefore these persons do us the greater wrong, which have nothing so common in their mouths, as that we do nothing orderly and comely, but all things troublesomely and without order. And that we allow every man to be a priest, to be a teacher, and to be an interpreter of the Scriptures. Moreover, we say that Christ hath given to his ministers power to bind, to loose, to open, to shut. And that the office of loosing consisteth in this point, that the minister should either offer by the preaching of the gospel the merits of Christ and full pardon, to such as have lowly and contrite hearts, and do unfeignedly repent themselves, pronouncing unto the same a sure and undoubted forgiveness of their sins, and hope of everlasting salvation, or else that the same minister, when any have offended their brother's minds with a great offence, with a notable and open fault, whereby they have, as it were, banished and made themselves strangers from the common fellowship, and from the body of Christ, then after perfect amendment of such persons, doth reconcile them, and bring them home again, and restore them to the company and unity of the faithful. We say also, that the minister doth execute the authority of binding and shutting, as often as he shutteth up the gate of the kingdom of heaven against the unbelieving and stubborn persons, denouncing unto them God's vengeance, and everlasting punishment, or else, when he doth quite shut them out from the bosom of the church by open excommunication. Out of doubt, what sentence soever the minister of God shall give in this sort, God himself doth so well allow of it, that whatsoever here in earth by their means is loosed and bound, God himself will loose and bind, and confirm the same in heaven. And touching the keys, wherewith they may either shut or open the kingdom of heaven, we with Chrysostom say, they be the knowledge of the scriptures, with Tertullian we say, they be the interpretation of the law, and with Eusebius, we call them the word of God. Moreover, that Christ's disciples did receive this authority, not that they should hear the private confessions of the people and listen to their whisperings, as the common massing priests do everywhere nowadays, and do it so, as though in that one point lay all the virtue and use of the keys, but to the end they should go, they should teach, they should publish abroad the gospel, and be unto the believing a sweet savour of life unto life, and unto the unbelieving and unfaithful a savour of death unto death. And that the minds of godly persons being brought low by the remorse of their former life and errors, after they once began to look up unto the light of the gospel, and believe in Christ, might be opened with the word of God, even as a door is opened with a key. Contrariwise, that the wicked and wilful folk, and such as would not believe, nor return into the right way, should be left still as fast locked, and shut up, and, as St. Paul saith, wax worse and worse. This take we to be the meaning of the keys, and that after this sort men's consciences either be opened or shut. We say, that the priest indeed is a judge in this case, but yet hath no manner of right to challenge an authority, or power, as saith Ambrose. And therefore our Saviour Jesu Christ, to reprove the negligence of the scribes and Pharisees in teaching, did with these words rebuke them, saying, Woe be unto you scribes and Pharisees, which have taken away the keys of knowledge, and have shut up the kingdom of heaven before men. Seeing then the key whereby the way and entry to the kingdom of God is opened unto us, is the word of the gospel, and the expounding of the law and scriptures, we say plainly, where the same word is not there is not the key. And seeing one manner of word is given to all, and one only key belongeth to all, we say, that there is but one only power of all ministers, as concerning opening and shutting. And as touching the Bishop of Rome, for all his parasites flatteringly sing these words in his ears, to thee will I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, as though those keys were fit for him alone, and for nobody else, except he go so to work, as men's consciences may be made pliant, and be subdued to the word of God, we deny that he doth either open, or shut, or hath the keys at all. And although he taught and instructed the people as would God he might once truly do, and persuade himself it were at the least some piece of his duty, yet we think his key to be never a whit better, or of greater force than other men's. For who hath severed him from the rest? Who hath taught him more cunningly to open, or better to absolve than his brethren? We say that matrimony is holy and honourable in all sorts and states of persons, in the patriarchs, in the prophets, in the apostles, in holy martyrs, in the ministers of the church, and in bishops. And that it is an honest and lawful thing, as Chrysostom saith, for a man, living in matrimony, to take upon him therewith the dignity of a bishop. And as Sozomenus saith of Spiridion. And as Nazianzin saith of his own father, that a good and diligent bishop doth serve in the ministry never the worse for that he is married, but rather the better, and with more ableness to do good. Further, we say, that the same law which by constraint taketh away this liberty from men, and compelleth them against their wills to live single, is the doctrine of devils, as Paul saith, and, that, ever since the time of this law, a wonderful uncleanness of life and manners in God's ministers, and sundry horrible enormities have followed, as the Bishop of Augusta, as Faber, as Abbas Panormitanus, as Latimus, as the tripartite work, which is annexed to the second tome of the councils, and other champions of the Pope's band, yea, and as the matter itself, and all histories do confess. For it was rightly said by Pius II, Bishop of Rome, that he saw many causes why wives should be taken away from priests, but that he saw many more, and more weighty causes why they ought to be restored them again. We receive and embrace all the canonical scriptures, both of the Old and New Testament, giving thanks to our God, who hath raised up unto us that light which we might ever have before our eyes, lest either by the subtlety of man, or by the snares of the devil, we should be carried away to errors and lies. Also that these be the heavenly voices, whereby God hath opened unto us his will, and that only in them man's heart can have settled rest. That in them be abundantly and fully comprehended all things, whatsoever be needful for our salvation, as Origen, Augustine, Chrysostom, and Cyrillus have taught, that they be the very might and strength of God to attain to salvation, that they be the foundations of the prophets and apostles, whereupon is built the Church of God, that they be the very sure and infallible rule, whereby may be tried, whether the Church do stagger, or err, and whereunto all ecclesiastical doctrine ought to be called to account, and that against these scriptures neither law, nor ordinance, nor any custom ought to be heard, no, though Paul his own self, or an angel from heaven, should come and teach the contrary. Moreover, we allow the sacraments of the Church, that is to say, certain holy signs and ceremonies, which Christ would we should use, that by them he might set before our eyes the mysteries of our salvation, and might more strongly confirm our faith which we have in his blood, and might seal his grace in our hearts. And these sacraments, together with Tertullian, Origen, Ambrose, Hierome, Chrysostom, Basil, Dionysius, and other Catholic fathers, do we call figures, signs, marks or badges, prints, copies, forms, seals, signets, similitudes, patterns, representations, remembrances and memories. And we make no doubt, together with the same doctors, to say, that these be certain visible words, seals of righteousness, tokens of grace, and do expressly pronounce, that in the Lord's Supper there is truly given unto the believing the body and blood of the Lord, the flesh of the Son of God, which quickeneth our souls, the meat that cometh from above, the food of immortality, grace, truth, and life, and the supper to be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By the partaking whereof we be revived, we be strengthened, and be fed unto immortality, and whereby we are joined, united, and incorporate unto Christ, that we may abide in him, and he in us. Besides, we acknowledge there be two sacraments, which, we judge, properly ought to be called by this name, that is to say, a baptism and the sacrament of thanksgiving. For thus many we say were delivered and sanctified by Christ, and well allowed of the old fathers, Ambrose and Augustine. We say that baptism is a sacrament of the remission of sins, and of the washing, which we have in the blood of Christ, and that no person which will profess Christ's name ought to be restrained or kept back therefrom. No, not the very babes of Christians. For so much as they be born in sin, and do pertain unto the people of God. We say, that Eucharistia, that is to say the supper of the Lord, is a sacrament. That is to wit, an evident token of the body and blood of Christ, wherein is set, as it were, before our eyes, the death of Christ and his resurrection, and what act soever he did whilst he was in his mortal body, to the end we may give him thanks for his death, and for our deliverance, and that, by the often receiving of this sacrament, we may daily renew the remembrance of that matter, to the intent we, being fed with the true body and blood of Christ, may be brought into the hope of the resurrection and of everlasting life, and may most assuredly believe that the body and blood of Christ doth in like manner feed our souls, as bread and wine doth feed our bodies. To this banquet we think the people of God ought to be earnestly bidden, that they may all communicate among themselves, and openly declare and testify both the godly society which is among them, and also the hope which they have in Christ Jesus. For this cause if there had been any which would be but a looker on, and abstain from the Holy Communion, him did the old fathers and bishops of Rome in the primitive church, before private mass came up, excommunicate as a wicked person and as a pagan. Neither was there any Christian at that time which did communicate alone, whiles other looked on. For so did Calixtus in times past decree, that after the consecration was finished, all should communicate, except they had rather stand without the church doors. because thus saith he, did the apostles appoint, and the same the Holy Church of Rome keepeth still. Moreover, when the people cometh to the Holy Communion, the sacrament ought to be given them in both kinds, for so both Christ hath commanded, and the apostles in every place have ordained, and all the ancient fathers and Catholic bishops have followed the same. And whoso doth contrary to this, he, as Gelasius saith, committeth sacrilege. And therefore we say, that our adversaries at this day, who having violently thrust out, and quite forbidden the Holy Communion, do, without the word of God, without the authority of any ancient council, without any Catholic father, without any example of the primitive church, yea, and without reason also, defend and maintain their private masses, and the mangling of the sacraments, and do this not only against the plain express commandment and bidding of Christ, but also against all antiquity, do wickedly therein, and are very church robbers. We affirm that bread and wine are holy and heavenly mysteries of the body and blood of Christ, and that by them Christ himself, being the true bread of eternal life, is so presently given unto us as that by faith we verily receive his body and his blood. Yet say we not this so, as though we thought that the nature and substance of the bread and wine is clearly changed and goeth to nothing, as many have dreamed in these later times, which yet could never agree among themselves, of this their dream. For that was not Christ's meaning, that the wheaten bread should lay apart his own nature, and receive a certain new divinity, but that he might rather change us, and, to use Theophylact's words, might transform us into his body. For what can be said more plainly, than that which Ambrose saith, bread and wine remain still the same they were before, and yet are changed into another thing, or, that which Gelasius saith, the substance of the bread, or the nature of the wine, ceaseth not so to be, or, that which Theodoret saith, after the consecration the mystical signs do not cast off their own proper nature. For they remain still on their former substance, form, and kind, or that which Augustine saith, that which ye see is the bread and cup, for so our eyes tell us, but that which your faith requireth to be taught, is this, the bread is the body of Christ, and the cup is his blood, or that which Origen saith, the bread which is sanctified by the word of God, as touching the material substance thereof, goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the privy, or that which Christ himself said, not only after the blessing of the cup, but after he had ministered the communion, I will drink no more of this fruit of the vine. It is well known that the fruit of the vine is wine, and not blood. And in speaking thus, we mean not to abase the Lord's Supper, that it is but a cold ceremony only, and nothing to be wrought therein, as many falsely slander as we teach. For we affirm, that Christ doth truly and presently give his own self in his sacraments. In baptism, that we may put him on. And in his supper, that we may eat him by faith and spirit, and may have everlasting life by his cross and blood. And we say not, this is done slightly and coldly, but effectually and truly. For although we do not touch the body of Christ with teeth and mouth, yet we hold him fast, and eat him by faith, by understanding, and by the Spirit. And it is no vain faith which doth comprehend Christ, and that is not received with cold devotion, that is received with understanding, with faith, and with Spirit. For Christ himself altogether is so offered and given us in these mysteries, that we may certainly know we be flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bones, and that Christ continueth in us, and we in him. And therefore in celebrating these mysteries, the people at a good purpose exhorted before they come to receive the Holy Communion, to lift up their hearts, and to direct their minds to heavenward, because he is there, by whom we must be full fed, and live. Cyril saith, when we come to receive these mysteries, all gross imaginations must quite be banished. The Council of Nice, as is alleged by some in Greek, plainly forbiddeth us to be basely affectioned, or bent toward the bread and wine, which are set before us. And, as Chrysostom very aptly writeth, we say, that the body of Christ is the dead carcass, and we ourselves must be the eagles, meaning thereby that we must fly high, if we will come unto the body of Christ. For this table, as Chrysostom saith, is a table of eagles, and not of jays. Cyprian also, this bread, saith he, is the food of the soul, and not the meat of the belly. And Augustine, how shall I hold him, saith he, which is absent? How shall I reach my hand up to heaven, to lay hold upon him that sitteth there? He answereth, reach hither thy faith, and then thou hast laid hold on him. We cannot also away now our churches with the shows, and sales, and buying and selling of masses, nor the carrying about and worshipping of bread, nor such other idolatrous and blasphemous fondness, which none of them can prove that Christ or his apostles did ever ordain, or left unto us. And we justly blame the bishops of Rome, who, without the word of God, without the authority of the holy fathers, without any example of antiquity, after a new guise, do not only set before the people the sacramental bread to be worshipped as God, but do also carry about the same upon an ambling horse, whithersoever themselves journey, as in old times the Persians' fire, and the relics of the goddess Isis, were solemnly carried about in procession, and have brought the sacraments of Christ to be used now as a stage play and a solemn sight, to the end, that men's eyes should be fed with nothing else but with mad gazings and foolish gauds, in the selfsame matter, wherein the death of Christ ought diligently to be beaten into our hearts, and wherein also the mysteries of our redemption ought with all holiness and reverence to be executed. Besides, where they say, and sometimes do persuade fools, that they are able by their masses to distribute and apply unto men's commodity all the merits of Christ's death, yea, although many times the parties think nothing of the matter, and understand full little what is done, this is a mockery, an heathenish fancy, and a very toy. For it is our faith that applieth the death and cross of Christ to our benefit, and not the act of the massing priest. Faithhood in the sacraments, saith Augustine, doth justify, and not the sacraments. And Origen saith, Christ is the priest, the propitiation, and sacrifice, which propitiation cometh to every one by means of faith. So that by this reckoning, we say that the sacraments of Christ without faith do not once profit these that be alive. A great deal less do they profit those that be dead. And as for their brags they are wont to make of their purgatory, though we know it is not a thing so very late risen amongst them, yet is it no better than a blockish and an old wife's device. Augustine, indeed, sometimes saith, there is such a certain place, sometime he denieth not, but there may be such a one. Sometime he doubteth. Sometime again he utterly denieth it to be, and thinketh that men are therein deceived by a certain natural good will they bear their friends departed. But yet of this one error hath there grown up such a harvest to these massmongers, the masses being sold abroad commonly in every corner, the temples of God became shops to get money, and silly souls were persuaded that nothing was more necessary to be bought. Indeed, there was nothing more gainful for these men to sell. As touching the multitude of vain and superfluous ceremonies, we know that Augustine did grievously complain of them in his own time, and therefore have we cut off a great number of them, because we know that men's consciences were cumbered about them, and the churches of God overladen with them. Nevertheless we keep still, and esteem, not only those ceremonies which we are sure were delivered us from the apostles, but some others too besides, which we thought might be suffered without hurt to the Church of God, because that we had a desire that all things in the Holy Congregation might, as St. Paul commandeth, be done with comeliness and in good order. But as for all those things which we saw were either very superstitious, or wholly unprofitable, or noisome, or mockeries, or contrary to the Holy Scriptures, or else unseemly for honest or discreet folks, as there be an infinite number nowadays where papistry is used. These, I say, we have utterly refused without all manner exception, because we would not have the right worshipping of God any longer denied with such follies. We make our prayers in that tongue which all our people, as meet is, may understand, to the end they may, as Paul counseleth us, take common commodity by common prayer, even as all the holy fathers and Catholic bishops, both in the Old and New Testament, did use to pray themselves, and taught the people to pray too, lest, as Augustine saith, like parrots and ourselves we should seem to speak that we understand not. Neither have we any other mediator and intercessor, by whom we may have access to God the Father, than Jesus Christ, in whose only name all things are obtained at his Father's hand. But it is a shameful part, and full of infidelity, that we see every whore used in the churches of our adversaries, not only in that they will have innumerable sorts of mediators, and that utterly without the authority of God's word, so that, as Jeremy saith, the saints be now as many in number, or rather above the number of the cities. And poor men cannot tell to which saint it were best to turn them first. And though there be so many as they cannot be told, yet every one of them hath his peculiar duty and office assigned unto him of these folks, what thing they ought to ask, what to give, and what to bring to pass, but besides this also, in that they do not only wickedly, but also shamefully, call upon the Blessed Virgin, Christ's mother, to have her remember that she is the mother, and to command her son, and to use a mother's authority over him. We say also, that every person is born in sin, and leadeth his life in sin, that nobody is able truly to say his heart is clean, that the most righteous person is but an unprofitable servant, that the law of God is perfect, and requireth of us perfect and full obedience, that we are able by no means to fulfill that law in this worldly life, that there is no one mortal creature which can be justified by his own deserts in God's sight, and therefore that our only succour and refuge is to fly to the mercy of our Father by Jesu Christ, and assuredly to persuade our minds that he is the obtainer of forgiveness for our sins, and that by his blood all our spots of sin be washed clean, that he hath pacified and set at one, all things by the blood of his cross, that he by the same one only sacrifice, which he once offered upon the cross, hath brought to effect and fulfilled all things, and that for that cause he said, when he gave up the ghost, it is finished, as though he would signify, that the price and ransom was now full paid for the sin of all mankind. If there be any, then, that think this sacrifice not sufficient, let them go, in God's name, and seek another that is better. We, verily, because we know this to be the only sacrifice, are well content with it alone and look for none other, and, forasmuch as it was to be offered but once, we command it not to be renewed again, and because it was full and perfect in all points and parts, we do not ordain in place thereof any continual succession of offerings. Besides, though we say, we have no meat at all by our own works and deeds, but appoint all the means of our salvation to be in Christ alone, yet say we not, that for this cause men ought to live loosely and dissolutely, nor that it is enough for a Christian to be baptized only and to believe, as though there were nothing else required at his hand. For true faith is lively, and can in no wise be idle. Thus therefore teach we the people, that God hath called us, not to follow riot and wantonness, but, as St. Paul saith, unto good works, to walk in them, that God hath plucked us out from the power of darkness, to the end that we should serve the living God, to cut away all the remnants of sin, and to work our salvation in fear and trembling, that it may appear, how that the Spirit of sanctification is in our bodies, and that Christ himself doth dwell in our hearts. To conclude, we believe, that this our selfsame flesh wherein we live, although it die, and come to dust, yet at the last day it shall return again to life, by the means of Christ's Spirit which dwelleth in us, and that then verily, whatsoever we suffer here in the meanwhile for his sake, Christ will wipe away all tears and lamentation from our eyes, and that we through him shall enjoy everlasting life, and shall forever be with him in glory. So be it. End of part 2. Copyright 2013. Hail and Fire.